I never know how to start these podcasts. Also, it's always me that has to start. Why don't you start the podcast, Anna? Pressure is always on me to come up with something to say. Come on.
You've just taken that bat on, though, haven't you? Like, okay. So today, it's me starting it. She's not been kidnapped. She's not still eating her dinner. She is here, but they thought they'd let me loose to introduce what can only be a very exciting podcast. We've got international guests on today, and we're going to be talking about fakeaways and takeaways and how to lose nearly 17 stone in a family. So, yeah, that's why she's let me do it, because she didn't know what to say. So, yeah, welcome to the Slim World podcast.
I don't need to say anything else. I'll just chip in and say cue the ukuleles. Yeah, so well done, Anna. Thanks. Thanks so much. That sounded really patronising. I didn't mean it to be patronising.
It didn't. How long have we been doing this? Maybe like 3 years. I've maybe learned a thing or two. Do you remember when we first started and we'd sit across your kitchen table and we'd be like, we had to be all professional, didn't we? And we'd get really like, oh, and now we're just like, just roll with it, don't we? Just what you get is more.
I think it's
going
to be one of those podcasts today where we just have a blooming good giggle. So I'm Claire. She's Anna. This is the Slimming World podcast. We are officially sponsored by Slimming World. They actually think that we're all right, which is quite amazing considering where we started this podcast. And each week, every Monday, we put out a new episode and cover a different subject. And today it just so happens to be that we have couple of the year who won Slimming World's couple of the year. They're going to share a bit about their story, but a big part of the changes they made in order to make food optimizing work for them and to get the weight loss that they wanted was making some switches. And I imagine that there are many of you who perhaps haven't done Slimming World before, have never really kind of known what to do when it comes to losing weight and where to start. And maybe you're someone who's kind of been locked into downloading a certain app onto your phone, as Anna has admitted to me, and I have admitted to her. I must have deleted and added that app, that delivery app, multiple times a week on my phone.
Did you ever fill up the basket though, like I used to put all the stuff in you wanted and then never order it? Did you
absolutely
ever do that? Like, you talk to yourself out of it, but like, no more pizza and ice cream. But just filling it up was quite a nice feeling.
Exactly. Well, if you are someone who is struggling with making the switch away from takeaways, perhaps you're not feeling so confident as a cook, then Anna is going to help us with a top 5 tips list of how you could start to break the cycle and move from takeaway to fakeaway. But we got to introduce like a couple of our guests, a couple of the year. I mean, Nicola and Chris, they join us from Tipperary. I feel like the paper cup and the string is the longest, the furthest away it's ever been. Welcome to the podcast.
Oh, thank you so much. I just can't remember on it. Like, I always used to listen to it, always.
Do you know what? I feel like we're on Eurovision, you know, when it's like calling Tipperary for the scores, please. I just love the fact that you're here. Thanks for joining us.
Oh yeah, we're so happy, to be honest.
You know, we need to kind of recap your story. I mean, let's look at the headline, okay? The headline says part of the story, but we're here to kind of uncover a bit more. It was announced only a few weeks ago, on the Slimming World website, on the Slimming World blog. People can read your story. And the headline said, we've lost over 17 stone. Now it's time to make some amazing memories. And the fact that, you know, Nicola, you've lost 12 stone, 8 pounds. Chris, you've lost 5 stone, 1.5 pounds. I mean, this is absolutely life-changing. I mean, we kind of start with, how on earth did you do it?
Well, the initial step was joining Slimming World and realising that we needed to make changes. We had slipped into a rut of, you know, the few drinks at night time. Even after having your dinner, having a few drinks, then getting a dose of the munchies and having the Doritos and then taking out that app and filling my basket. And, you know, and that was becoming a regular occurrence. And it was 3, 4, 5 nights a week. We were doing that. And then we realised we needed to make changes. So we joined Slimming World, and then it just all went from there. We changed our approach to food. We educated ourselves more. We read the books on cooking, and we kind of adapted recipes so they were still full of flavour. Because I think that's so important. I think people are under this illusion that, oh my God, you know, it's so strict and you have to do this and you have to do this. And it's actually not. We kind of looked at it like no food is off limits. No food is not adaptable to a healthy method of cooking. I never use the word diet. We use the word a healthy approach to food. And it's all the way you kind of look at it. So we looked at it like that from the start. And we made massive changes. Like, we never reward ourselves with food. So do you know on weigh day where people would go and jump on the scale, they're like, yeah, I'm going to binge out all day. I would make a fake away that day. So we would say, like, we would have a kebab that day at all on plan. So you're still not deprived. You're having what you want. And you're breaking the cycle of happy eat, sad eat, celebrate eat. You know that sort of way? And so many people do that. So that was a massive thing with our journey, was we didn't do that. And then lockdown happened in Ireland, the first one in March, and we kept it up. And the weight kept coming down and down and down and down. And Slimming World just became part of our lives. And we eliminated alcohol. That was a big thing for us. We gave it up completely.
Wow. I mean, a lot of Irish listeners would be shocked to hear that. No, you know, I'm playing on the stereotype here, but wow.
Definitely. And like, I was that bad on the sociable drinks that I expected the DTs. Well, you know, I expected the full-blown shakes, but I didn't. And thankfully, I'm still off drink. And it took us a year to reach our to lose the amount of weight we lost. And now it's just part of our life. Like, every recipe we make is healthy. It's no food is off limits. So we look at any recipe we want to cook, we just adapt it. We enjoy food. There's nothing we make that we don't enjoy. And like, you know, tweaking things up so they have more flavor, or changing the type of oil you use and things like that, all make it more kind of taste more naughty. So it kind of is sustainable now for us, because we've made so many changes and educated ourselves so much, and kind of threw ourselves into the world of where we get inspo from other people. And you know, in groups, you get inspo from the podcast, even from the blog, from all those places. It's so important to kind of still keep learning, because that way you make your journey more sustainable. And so many people get into a rut when they hit target and they're like, I'm comfortable now, I can eat what I want. No, you can't. You can always eat what you want. It's the mindset, though, how you approach it. You know, that sort of way. So, yeah, that's basically it. And it's just been amazing since. And then when we found out we won a couple of the year, we were like...
Didn't believe it.
Yeah, we were so like, oh my God.
Hang on, but Chris, did you even know that you'd been entered for a couple of the year?
Oh,
not really. No.
I used him to win a national title, lad. Seat belt.
All down to me.
Oh, I love that.
Wow. Do you know what, though? You are literally, you're so infectious with it. Like, it feels like, Claire and I often talk about enjoy the journey, and it feels like what you're saying is actually you had a great time while you were doing it. It wasn't a horrific thing to have done. It actually was quite good fun.
Like, people always message me and they're like, how do you stay so motivated? And I'm like, it's all about your approach. It's not about looking for happiness in a destination. It's about happiness in the moment and enjoying the journey. And I think if women and men forget the illusion that, oh, I'll be happy when, or I'll be happy if, you enjoy life so much more. And we were at that stage when we joined Slimming World, even though we were big, we had kind of that happiness about us where we took things as they were. We're like, oh my God, we're not looking for the glass half full or half empty. We're just happy we have a glass, you know, that sort of way.
Oh, I love that one.
And that's the way we kind of, we look at things. Even now, that's the way our approach is. It's not about motivation. It's about, as I said, not looking for happiness in something. It's about living the moment and realizing that you can be happy no matter what way you are.
Yeah. Rewind a bit, right, and tell us, what was life like before you joined Slimming World? Because I imagine there might be some people who are struggling right now. Maybe privately they're listening to this podcast, they haven't voiced their concerns to anyone, they haven't actually even Googled their nearest Slimming World. They're kind of in that dark moment. What was life kind of like for you before you signed up?
Well, I had constant reflux to the point where when I'd lie down, I'd vomit. I had back pain. I had rashes in places that I never even knew existed. I hadn't seen my lady parts in a few years. You know, on a serious note, intimately was very difficult because we were both massively overweight and people don't realise how much it affects that area of things. You know, we were the type of parents, we always done stuff with our kids, but we were the ones watching them.
Couldn't physically do it. You'd be out of breath trying to play with them, and you'd feel it the next day if you're up on your feet for a good while. Just trying to keep up with them in the park or running around the park with them. I'd only be able to last about 100 yards and that's me done. So losing the weight was brilliant.
Yeah. And also, like, you know, kind of work and like the clothes that you were wearing as well, like your energy levels, what were they like?
Well, like, I lived in black leggings and t-shirts, like black leggings from New Look. I think they were 26 or 28, and t-shirts and either ponchos. Chris gives me some sagging over the ponchos. The ponchos or cardigans. And, you know, and like parent and Chris lived in, what's she doing? And Chris had to wear a suit in work. So it was.
I just wore that the whole time because I hated his clothes shop and I had no interest in it whatsoever. So I come home from work, take off the suit jacket and
pajamas
or just same as the suit pants and shirt. I didn't care about what I used to wear because I didn't have much that fit me.
We were both like blowfish. Like, that's the only way I can describe us, you know? Like, literally. From drink and takeaways and a really unhealthy lifestyle, it showed on us physically and it took its toll on us physically. Even though, as I said, we were really involved parents, it was sad because we were the type that sat there and watched them. You know, and that you miss out on so much with them.
So there was a turning point, wasn't there? You want a ride at a theme park.
Yeah, like we went to Drayton Manor and I was told to get off the ride and the bar wouldn't close down and Eden was still nonverbal at the time. So I had to get off the ride and leave her on it. And like, you know, people were sniggering and talking, but I'm very like, it is what it is. I know I'm overweight. I was eating what I was eating. I wasn't, I wouldn't say I was mortified, but I was missed out on that memory with my child. That's where I felt it. And even down to, you know, getting the seatbelt extensions and things, you know, all those things were things that you have to do. And they're turning points where you're saying to your kids, like, you don't want them to have to see that.
How are the kids now? What do they think? I bet they're so proud.
Oh, no, they're like, not another wall. Not another hill.
Oh, do they love the kicking? Do they get involved?
Oh, they love it. Like, they love it. Like, Deborah, like, last night I was prepared. I made an Italian lamb casserole for dinner. And it's made since last night. And Deborah said to me, will you make me egg fried rice and chicken curry for after school? And she had the egg fried rice set in her hot container, and that's all literally made from scratch. And she loves like spicy rice, and they love
the spice bags,
and they love satay, and like they eat everything we make. Like, it's so good, and they love getting involved, and even, you know, making the goujons themselves.
Oh, what an example you set to them, though, of how you can turn your life around and become really involved and really healthy. Do you go out and do lots of things as a family now that you didn't? Well, can you take part in things that you didn't before?
Yeah, like, you know, obviously with COVID and restrictions, there's a lot of limitations, yeah. But we were able to go to an adventure place down the country where you had to go in these big inflatable tubes. And it was very active. So me and Chris and the two girls, and Charlie's too cool for us. But he was sick and he didn't go when he saw it. But we could fit in the tubes.
Yeah.
We could fit in one together. We could go up and down the hill with the girls. It was just, you know, it was priceless.
It was something that we couldn't have done 2 years ago.
And that's not something that you necessarily get your stickers and your certificates for in Slimming World, but it kind of means more to you, I suppose.
Definitely. Like, do you know what? I race you down that slide. You know, I remember in the summer and we went to this place that we all went on it together. Like, there's no money in the world that equivalents to that feeling.
Oh, I love that. So, you know, this swap that you've made from being, because Claire and I have really talked on the podcast about our love of takeaway. Like, there are certain drive-throughs that would pull us in. There are certain places that we would go to when we were happy, when we were sad. And making that swap for me was, I still integrated a little bit of takeaway. Claire went kind of cold turkey. Did you just cut it all out and say, hello, we're not going near you again? Like, how did you manage it?
I think we knew at the start we had to kind of break away from it because we didn't want to use, as I was saying to you, the treat or those words. I don't even like them because food shouldn't be known as a treat. We need food to survive and no food should be off limits. And if you go into a plan with that thought, I think you're nearly setting yourself up for failure because some people feel if they have too many treats, oh, I failed. So don't use that terminology. Don't put yourself in a place where you're setting yourself up for, you know, a kind of failure. But like we were obsessed with takeaways. Like we live in an estate where there's a chipper over the road.
Yeah.
We call him a chipper here. Like,
is that a chippy? Fish and chips?
Yeah. We call it the chippers.
Oh, I love it. I'm going to rename mine now.
Yeah. And like we were living on like kebabs.
Burgers, pizza.
Burgers.
You name it, we had it.
And was that because you didn't have the confidence to cook? Had you not really learnt how to kind of cook? Or was it just because you were tired and it was a quick fix and it went round, it was relatively low cost that you could just feed the family and be done?
Do you know, like, we'd still be having our dinner in the evening. I'd still be cooking the meals. The meals wouldn't be made as healthily, like the butter be loaded in, the potatoes and things like that, but we were still having our three meals and the takeaway on top of it when the kids are in bed. Family takeaway might be on a Friday or a Saturday night. But we were still having the takeaways on top of the meals when the kids are in bed. You have a few drinks and you get the munchies, as I was saying, and then we were ordering food.
You must have saved a fortune.
We saved so much money that we bought a mobile home.
Whoa!
Oh
that
gosh,
is a headline.
What an inspiration.
Yeah.
That is brilliant.
Yeah.
Wow. Your local chipper must have been like, where are they? I've lost my profit.
I know. And like when they, like people see us and they're like, I remember you, but you were different when you used to come into the chip shop. And I'm like, yeah, I don't go in there anymore. You know?
I've lost 12 stone. What was people's reaction to you after lockdown? Like, and seeing you?
Chris works in Dunn, so all the ladies, you know, and the more mature women were coming up to him, telling him how well he looks.
Yeah.
And
so, like, I was in the public eye every day with my line of work. People were seeing me every single day, so, ew.
But they really noticed it, didn't they? They were saying, oh, God, you're doing so well. Whereas it was lockdown for me, and I, you know, lockdown started in March, as they hear, last year. So I was into my journey, but when I started 22 stone 8 pounds. So the first few stone, people wouldn't really notice. But then come September, it actually came up my memories. I got my 9.5 stone award this day last year. It was so funny because a mother made the comment. She said, he used to stand out in the yard for being the biggest, and now you stand out with your orange hair. And I, like, it was there going, oh my God, like,
bless you. It must have been shocking though for a lot of people to see you like after lockdown and then like almost like you've just come out as a different person, really.
Definitely, like, because the two of us, like, it's like our bed doesn't know what's it like. There was starting to be like this indentation from the weight of the two of us. It was starting to come into the kitchen or the sitting room slowly, and now it's like we've so much space.
Oh, it's amazing. And do you know what I just see from you two? And I didn't meet you before, so I don't know, but the happiness you've got and the passion you seem to have of living this lovely lifestyle is just like really infectious. Have you got a lot of people on board around you losing weight? Because I can imagine your friends and your family must be like, oh my God, I want a piece of that.
You know, like, I started cooking on my Instagram stories lately because people always ask how you make things. And I think it's so important that people feel you're relatable and they know I'm just a wife and a mum with three kids. I buy the 29 cent tomatoes in the supermarket. I don't live the Instagram versus reality lifestyle. And, you know, we show them that. Like Chris, we made pardo muffins last night for him to bring into work for all the boys. They wanted to try them. But like we do everything like that together. We meal plan together. We educate people on food. Like so many people in Chris's work have joined Slimming World and make our, like I met someone at the school and they said to me this morning, I got a message last night from my friend going, oh my God, I made your friend's curry last night with meatballs. Like who would have ever thought of that? And I'm like going, oh my God.
Oh, listen, you're like a sensation, aren't you? Because I think that's what people see is that fun, the enthusiasm and the food. Like you talk about food. Claire and I are passionate about eating and passionate about food. And it's knowing that actually, if you enjoy what you're eating, that's going to keep you going, isn't it? And it's also going to filter off around you. So, yeah, I think it's brilliant to see. Did you say curry with meatballs?
Like I winged it. So like I literally think I'm Jamie Oliver now. Even though I'm so not, I'm like, what will I rustle up today? So I had like butternut squash and carrots and I used them as the base for my sauce because they give a lovely consistency. Literally with a stock cube and spices from the press, ones that have a zero sin value. And I made my meatballs literally with garlic, Chinese five spice and onions and cooked them in the air fryer and then added to them to the blitz sauce and added my chunky veg. Oh my God, it was insane. I was literally, it was like food porn. We were going, oh, I can't believe I made this, you know? And we had it with the yogurt and fresh coriander and it was just, you know, like when you just eat food and it's in your mouth and you're like, I can't believe I made this.
Taste explosion.
And now everyone in town's eating your, that sounds good. But I think they're sometimes the best recipes, the ones you just knock up and you don't know how the hell you did it.
Yeah, and like that's what we kind of do, isn't it, with food. Like we try different things. We use a lot of, you know, spices and...
It's a lot more adventurous with food than what work start.
Yeah, we're not afraid to...
Like before, we never would have... The only spice we had to press before was salt and pepper.
Or mixed herbs with stuffing.
Yeah, that's all we had.
Now our press is literally like, when you open it, you're afraid one will fall on the floor.
See, the thing is, like, with recipes, because obviously to go from kind of, you know, making those tweaks to the meals that you were cooking and make them food optimized, and then you don't need the takeaway in the evening. How do you go about it? Are you the type of people who just see, have you got the confidence to kind of see what you've got in? Or are you a bit like, say, where me and Anna came from, we're like, we don't really know what the hell we're doing and where to start. And you kind of hold on to a Slimming World book for dear life and hope you don't need to do a lot of washing up afterwards. And it'll taste all right as well. Like, how do you kind of go from making that change? And also, were there any like kind of hurdles that you had to kind of overcome or like bumps that you had along the way?
At the start... Do you know the way in your start there was like seven meals? I literally cooked those seven meals for a few weeks, the same ones over and over and over and over.
So the 7-day menu planner, yeah.
I started going, oh my God, if I add veg there and blitz it, that gives a thicker consistency so the sauce isn't watery. So I started learning. And instead of asking people sin values, I started looking them up. And we educated her. Like, he didn't have a clue. Even still, at times, he's like, message, sending me Snapchat.
I know better now.
Is this a healthy extra? And I'm like, no, you had that this morning in your breakfast, love. You know, so, like, it took us a good while to educate ourselves on the plan. It really did. And I suppose gaining the knowledge of the food and the importance of the way you plate your food. That's key. Oh my God, like I don't emphasize that enough to people, the importance of having the way you plate your food. And but it, like, it doesn't just, like, people think you join SlimWorld and you lose the weight like that. You have to educate yourself on food. You have to want to learn. It's not, like, you're not in the kitchen 24/7. People say, I don't have time. You can buy the veg chopped.
Hello. Yeah.
You can go into your butcher and get the lean mince made into the bloody meatballs. You can do it in front of you. There are ways around everything. If you want something, you will find a way through the obstacle and get over it. And if you don't want to do it, you look for excuses. And I really believe that.
Yeah, I agree. I always say there's no such thing as no time. It's just that it's not a priority at the moment.
I always say to people as well, I'd rather go to bed tired and be prepared than come home in the evening and make poor choices and feel like,
that's so true though, actually, because the amount of time and energy we waste stressing about, oh God, I need to prep, or I should have done this, actually, if you spent that time doing it rather than stressing about doing it, you'd have it done, wouldn't you? And it's knowing that a little bit of effort means that you get the payoff, which is the weight loss and the gorgeous food.
Definitely. And you know, at the start, you're looking at the recipe books and you're literally measuring everything, and then you get to the stage you're like, a bit of this, a bit of this, a bit of this, a bit of this, taste it, yeah, it needs a bit more of this. So we all have to start somewhere.
It feels to me like you weren't scared though, you just leapt into it, didn't you? You're like, yep, I'm taking it.
We did, but we did adapt and improve as our journey went on. Like, we did start off as amateurs and beginners and really learning and like asking. We felt like at times in group that we were asking really silly questions.
They'll always ask them, yeah.
I'm so glad we did ask them, because we wouldn't have the knowledge we did now. And I think that's why so many people find they could say anything. Like, we get messages, do you mind me asking this? And I'm like, God, no, I don't. I would ask the same question, you know, when it's, you'll never get anywhere in life if you don't ask.
Yeah, and that's why, you know, that this weight loss will stick, you know? And a lot of people struggle, where both Anna and I have done Slimming World multiple times, and maybe in our early journeys, we didn't quite understand this idea of lifestyle, of education. It was quite overwhelming. We just wanted to get it done and get it off and get it out the way and then move on with our life. Whereas I guess what you're saying you've done is, it's looking at those lifestyle changes, the behaviour, the psychology behind it, the, you know, replacing one bad habit with a better habit and putting a bit of effort and planning into this. And ultimately that you hope will mean that in next year you'll become diamond members, and then, I don't know, triple diamond members, and I don't know, where does it go after? Where does it go after diamond? I don't even know.
You can go like diamond one.
Diamonds are forever, obviously.
Diamonds are forever, yeah. I'll just keep awarding them. I don't even if they know if there's a diamond one, two, or three, but I just keep handing them out. One day you'll get a ring or something if you come.
Wow.
Yeah, it's that knowing if you carry on with this, I guess, or and keep making these changes, your life is just going to be a very healthy, happy one, isn't it? Because of these changes you've made.
Yeah, and I think it's important to realise that you deserve to be the happiest, healthiest version that you want to be, not what society wants you to be, not what anyone else wants you to be. And that's why when I say to people all the time about, you know, not looking for happiness in a dress size, not looking for happiness in a number, they're really valuable things to take on board.
We talk about that so much. Because actually, how much pressure do we put on ourselves to say, once I get to that weight or once I fit in those jeans, life's going to be all right. I can remember being a size 10 and my dad was dying and I was the thinnest I'd ever potentially been, and just being so broken by it. I just did it in very skinny jeans. So, it's recognizing those things, that actually losing the weight's going to be an amazing gift, but it doesn't fix everything, does it? You know, you've got to fix yourself first. So.
100%, 100%. And like, the greatest confidence you can wear is to be an individual and to be yourself and radiate that. And I think that's so important. And like, my mom always said to me, kindness is free, and share it with everyone. Like, you know, if you have a tip on something, share it with somebody. you know, you'd be surprised who you'll help on their journey.
Oh, I love it. I'm trying meatballs in a curry sauce. That's my new thing. I don't know if it will work, babe, but I'm giving it a go.
I think I'm going to up it now and slap it on a little sub next week or something with a bit of cheese or something.
You could do like, yeah, oh, you could make it this seriously work, like adding a flatbread that you food optimized or something. It could go places.
Oh,
things.
Definitely.
You know, you can take it.
Yeah, well, I'm starting to think I can picture this mobile home that you've got. You could travel across Ireland, couldn't you, during the summer, and like you could be like dishing out, you know, Nicola and Chris. Like Chris has got his porridge oat muffins, and then Nicola's got like the butternut squash curry. I mean, that's a TV program in the making, right?
Seriously, I think it could be a goer. I'd come.
I would buy my own food. It tastes that good.
I love that. The confidence that she's got is so good.
Like, honestly, if you heard us at the tea, but two of us are like, you know, it's so nice.
It was the greatest one.
But do you know what? I bet that one of the things you found as well is that a lot of the time your cooking tasted better than the takeaways you were probably getting.
Definitely. Like, and the egg fried rice I make.
It's nicer.
Oh, like they put the recipe on the blog of the chicken fried rice. The kids love it.
Oh.
It is so good. Really, like. And it tastes better than a takeaway. And you know what? It's so easy to prepare.
But I think that's the thing with the trick we miss. I always think about this. You know, when you order a takeaway and it takes 40 minutes to come where we are, and it'd be like, I could have cooked the meal, I could have washed the meal up and had a shower and eaten it. But it's somehow the takeaway is like a chill out thing to do. And it's just knowing, actually, I'm going to pay more money for this. It's probably not going to taste as good as something I can make. I just need to put the effort in. So
it's an interesting process, isn't it? Because recently I kind of had a moment where I was just super, super tired in the middle of the day and I needed something to eat. I needed it now and nothing was going to settle. And I just went for like a vegan sausage roll somewhere. And it had chips and it had mushy peas and I had some tomato ketchup with it. And afterwards, I kind of sat there and I did the whole capture, challenge, change, and I got my journal out and I felt awful. I felt like the taste of it was horrible. It tasted beige. I then worked out the sins and I realized I'd had something like 67 sins and I didn't enjoy it. But it was an old habit that had reared its head, you know, in a time of stress and worried. I was tired that day and it's like kind of a monster that just came over me. But in that moment, I got my journal out and I thought, no, I'm going to capture this moment and write down, you know, what were my thoughts like? What was my mood like before I went and ordered that meal? What did I think of it when I was eating it? Well, I didn't finish it. I had to put tomato ketchup with it because it tasted so bland and so like oily and horrible. I had to drink loads of water because I was super thirsty because it felt really salty. And then afterwards, I just realized how many sins I'd had, how terrible it made me feel. And I was still hungry because I hadn't finished ultimately this meal that didn't taste that great. And then afterwards, I kind of thought, right, what would I change in this situation? Maybe I could factor in that I knew I was going to be stressed. I knew I was going to be tired that day. Could I have planned something a few days before I hit that wall? Where else in the neighbourhood could I have gone? A different shop or something, you know, to make a better choice? Was there a supermarket that I could have gone to and got a little kind of, I don't know, car picnic or something? But I think it's by recognizing these moments and you find yourself, you know, it takes a while to get out of these habits, doesn't it? To kind of get that. And I still think, you know, even as someone who has been through this 5-stone loss, who's been doing Slimming World for like, you know, on off for 9 years, this journey's 3 years, I still had that kind of moment only a few weeks ago. So it's not, as you say, Anna, it's something that you can kind of like just get fixed. It's something you have to accept, work with, and just, you know, try and catch it before you fall down that cliff. Because it's amazing how, I mean, I'm still shocked. Like, oh, I thought I was over this. And then there I am, you know, sat with looking down on my crotch with all like pasty bits, crumbs all over me. And I'm like, how did I get here again? You know?
I think, though, it's that knowing it's all right that you ended up there. And sometimes it will happen, but it's knowing that you're noticing it now, whereas before, and I don't know if you two feel the same, it was so constant that was just your life. So now it sticks out because it's so infrequent and it's so different to how you live your life. But it's knowing that, like I often say, we have learned to eat and drink in these ways for so long that they do rear up. And let's face it, sometimes we really do like a pasty and chips or, you know, a really nice glass of wine. And it's knowing that that's okay. Just like you say, capture it, learn from it, and maybe know that it's when you're doing it that's the issue, not the fact that you're doing it. So you know when you really go and enjoy something, like a bit of birthday cake or, I don't know, a lovely dessert, and you're doing that in control and you've factored it in and it's beautiful, that feels lovely. When you're doing it as like an emotional thing, you know, like you were saying, eating when you're happy, when you're sad, when you're tired, that's when it gets tricky, doesn't it? Because we're not eating that because we're hungry, we're eating that for an emotional response. So I think, you know, it is that thing. I'm 22 years into this next year. Like, I don't ever think, and this is me saying it publicly, that I will all ever be totally in a space with food where I'm not triggered by some sort of food or there is an emotional response, because that's the type of personality I have. And it's just kind of accepting that that is going to be part of my life, isn't it? You know, but actually, if I can eat well the majority of the time, then I'm going to be able to keep this weight loss off.
It's all about your relationship with food, because we had our daughter's communion on Saturday and then we went out for a meal, and then on Sunday we had like a party in our house and we had Chinese, kind of like a Chinese buffet kind of, but we had the Chinese buffet, but there was no food guilt, but there was no overindulging either, but there was no counting things, because we're in a place where our meals are always good. So we see a day, we don't even call a day like that an off plan day. We just call it, you know, an occasion. And it's the way you look at it, like, because you don't want to look like this is my treat and then overeat and feel horrible. So we looked at like, look, we're going to have it on Sunday and we're going to have the cake. It is what it is. And wake up Monday and then like, yeah.
I often say on here, like, I never say I'm off plan, and that doesn't mean I don't eat cake and ice cream. It's just for me, if I psychologically go off on, that isn't balancing my head or my body. So actually, what, like the approach you've got, that's how people who don't struggle with their weight eat. They have the Chinese, they have a bit of the pudding, and then they just get revert back to how they normally eat. But what a lot of us have who've had weight to lose is that food guilt. And it's lifting that burden of guilt of saying, actually, what have I done that's so wrong? I've just eaten food that's higher in calories. Like you were saying before, when you don't say anything's forbidden, you kind of lose a bit of that guilt, because actually you're just looking at it as food, aren't you? Rather than something that is good or bad.
And I think you approaching your journey, like we were saying, mentally ready is far outweighs the physical side. It's, as I said, breaking away from the cycle of those words, reward, treat, happiness and a size. It's making those little changes. The physical journey then just slots into place and it's so fun and enjoyable and you really throw yourself into it.
Yeah. So, I mean, Anna, you've put together like your kind of top five starting points for those people who are perhaps looking at kind of they're quite maybe early on in their journey, or they're looking to break the cycle, you know, using Nicola's words, to move away from this habit of takeaways or quick fix kind of fast food stuff. Like, to break that habit is obviously sometimes quite a big and scary thing if you're not really sure or confident in the kitchen. So like, hit us up with your Anna Mangan's top five tips.
This is really weird, because before you talked about egg fried rice, and I just talked about egg fried rice. It was like it was meant to be. So I'll tell you, tip number one. I feel like I need a jingle, Claire. Can we make a jingle?
I just gave you a jingle. I just made one up for you.
Oh, sorry. I must have missed your jingle there, love. So tip number one for me would be to start simple. So have easy things in your cupboard and your freezer. So for me, always got something from the Iceland range, a curry, a pasta, some chips, a burger, something I can whack in the oven. And also potatoes. Now, we've talked about potatoes a lot, But, you know, chips don't reject. I can whack some dirty fries and make them done in 25 minutes. And they're really comforting. I also put things like my egg fried rice. It's a really easy go-to that's cheap, that's quick, and you've always got the ingredients to make it. So number one is keeping it simple. Number two for me, the biggest thing I had to do was swap it out. Loving my favorite dishes, like Chinese is a really big thing for me, like Thai curries. So looking, like you were saying before, what can I swap out? Actually, I'm not cooking it with the oil. I'm not cooking it with the coconut milk. I'm doing other things, or making like tomato-based curries. So I used to really love a korma or a passanda, you know, with loads of almonds and cream and all of that. So making things like Rogan Josh's to make that swap. Also swapping things like oil to One Cow cooking spray, or a spray oil that I could count the sins. Because how many of us just pour a bit of oil? Do you know what I mean? Whereas quantifying it. Number three, get the family involved. The moment you get the family involved in making it fun. So, you know, actually, Sunday is like roast dinner in our house. So everyone gets involved. Daisy helps make the gravy, or, you know, like a Saturday night making a fake away, or the kids prepping their packed lunches or whatever it is, really, really helps to get the family involved and help them, allow them to help pick. So a lot of my members will always say we sit round on maybe a Saturday night or a Sunday night and we pick the family favourites so that everyone has something they really enjoy. Number four would be batch cook your favourite. So having things in the freezer that you know you can grab when you can't be bothered. So like for us, we love, you know, like Chinese chip shop style gravy, chips and rice. So just having that curry sauce ready made, I chop up the chips and freeze them par done so that, you know, I don't have to think about it. So batch cook, I always used to do things like the doner kebab meat and stuff like that. So just pull it out of the freezer when I can't be bothered. And my final one would be get support in your group. You know, like you were saying before, ask the questions. What's your favourite? How do you make your curry? Or how do you make your spag bol? Or how do you make your, you know, chicken goujons? You know, asking for help, asking for tips. Also, people in group know your local area. So we'll know that your local butcher might, you know, make burgers that are sin-free, or know that actually your local supermarket carries the veggie burger you want or whatever that's low sin. So getting support and maximising the free food within it so that you don't really have to use sins. Because I think the moment you start to pull too many sins into this is when we get into not using free food in the most powerful way.
Brilliant. I love that. I think also, like, Nicola, your idea about like the 7-day planner is good, because when you look at some of the Slimming World magazines, I mean, it has the shopping list there for you too, doesn't it? You know, it's got everything to go.
They're so good. And like all the Slimming World recipe books are amazing and really good to follow if you're only learning about the plan, if you're a bit scared to try other stuff because you're unsure of values and things like that. They're really, really good to stick to. And I'd advise people, like when I meal plan or we meal plan together, we pick the meats we want to have. Then we decide on the dishes. Then we check the press that we have all the spices for each dish. So you're not coming to a Wednesday and you're making, just say for all the world, a Balti and you haven't got the spices in the press. And you're like, shoot, I've nothing to make. And now what am I going to have? It really, really helps preparing like that.
The planning seems to be a bit of a key theme for you, kind of planning ahead. I mean, it's like the bane of my life, but when I'm successful, I plan. And I'm like the kind of spontaneous, free-living kind of gal. I like to just see how I wake up on the day. But you're so right, because on those moments when you're tired, when you're ready to download the app once again, when you're happy to sit on your bum for 40 minutes and wait for someone to deliver food, you know, and then all you've got to do is take a knife and fork and just literally shovel it in your mouth. Those are the times when the planning that you've done a few days before and you've done your stock take and you've got in what you need, that's when you pay dividends. And that's when you see the difference of, you know, maybe a gain, a maintain or a half pound off to like getting those 2-3 pounds a week off every week.
The most successful slimmers I encounter in my groups are the ones that are planned and prepped. Because do you know what? You can't do this winging it. Especially when you first start, because you need to know that you've got every base covered, every emotional base, every physical base. And if you're not planned and you haven't got an idea of what you're going to eat and how you're going to cook it and when you're going to do it, that's when you fall back into those traps, don't you? You really do. And then history repeats itself and guilt kicks in and you go, oh.
Like I always say, like I always have like baby potatoes boiled in the fridge. So like if you don't feel like the dinner you've planned, you can chop them up and throw them in the air fryer and you can have fried eggs and beans and some mushrooms and onions with it or something. You know, have things in the fridge. Yeah. Plan. We always have things like that readily available as a backup plan, don't we? And even, you know, like educating yourself on the sin value of things is so important. Really, like I know it's like people would often say, what's the value of that? And I'd say, look it up. That's how I learned.
What I used to do was not want to look it up because then I had to know. And actually, it's taking that ownership of going, oh, I need, if I work this out, I'm going to not maybe have it, maybe choose not to have it, or have it and then have no sin. So I totally get, I'm the same, like, look it up because then you're empowering yourself, aren't you, as well?
You know, the weighing scales, like the little weighing scales is my saving grace. Because you're 40 grams, you could be throwing 50 grams into the bowl and have not seen the loss on your weigh day and wondering why. Or your cheese, weighing out your cheese for your fake away for your loaded fries, you'd be throwing in and out cheeky 20 grams and not realising it. So it's so important to weigh out things as well, like your healthy extras. And they're little tips. You know, in group, I find even though I've lost over 12 and a half stone, I still learn something at every group. I still learn every Zoom. You never know it all. You learn so much every time. And that's why I still get the same enjoyment from the Zooms, from the people on it every single time. And that's why another reason why we love Slimmerworld so much is that sort of community feeling as well.
So what's the future like for you guys? What's going to happen next?
Well, we can't wait for the bowl.
Of course, yes. So we know that the award winners get to go to an amazing bowl, which will happen in November. I mean, that's going to be great fun. Have you got your outfits ready?
Yeah, I got my dress. I'm excited. We're looking forward to that because we're 10 years married this year.
Fantastic. Congrats.
So we're 10 years married the start of October and then it's the ball in November. So we're looking forward to the kind of few nights over at the ball and meeting everyone, you know, because I think our journeys were based a lot through Zoom and you meet so many people online that it'd be so nice to physically touch them and like, oh my God, you're a real person, you know, that sort of way. But like in the future, I suppose you just want to keep
doing what we're doing.
Keep cooking more and helping people where we can and sharing our recipes and educating ourselves more on food and
enjoy
life.
Yeah. In that motorhome, cooking that curry. That's where they're going to be. We can see it now.
We went from takeaway loving, alcohol loving people to tree huggers. Who enjoy walks on the beach in our bare feet, enjoy mountain climbing. We went from those people to tree huggers officially.
Aww. Yeah, I mean, I would highly recommend it if you haven't read Nicola and Chris's story on Slimmerworld. It's on Lifeline online. It's also on slimmerworld.co.uk. Go have a read of that and you can also see their amazing pictures. And you can see the outfits. You'll know Nicola because she's the one with the orange hair.
Stands out a little bit.
Yeah. Just stand out a little, exactly, yeah. But it's been brilliant to have you on the podcast. Thank you for your energy. Thank you for your enthusiasm. I'm sure that anybody listening to this will be feeling pumped and have already got out their shopping planner and their pen by the time they finish this listening to this episode.
That's really good. We just hope that people know that no matter how many times you feel like you've tried and failed, it's not. It's learning. You know, embrace it and go with it and throw yourself into the Slimmerworld community where you have the support.
Brilliant.
Love it.
Well, you know, if you are listening to this and you want to kind of share any kind of comments about what have you done, if you've broken away from a takeaway lifestyle like I did, like Anna did, like Nicola and Chris did, how did you do it? What's kind of working for you? Share your light bulb moments with us. You can email us slimmingworldpodcast@gmail.com. And we're on Instagram as well, @slimmingworldpodcast. I mean, the only thing I've got to just kind of ask out of curiosity, just to finish, Chris, what did the guys at work think of the porridge oat muffins?
They loved them. And they couldn't believe how easy it is to make.
Did you? Wow.
Tell them what the favourite one was.
This, I made two of them last night with Nicola, apple cinnamon and raisin, and Biscoff and toffee.
It was butter biscuit with Biscoff spread on top, and then the other one was raspberry with dark chocolate chips.
I mean, what guy isn't going to say no to that? Well, if it's gone down a storm at work, you're on to a winner, aren't you, really?
I'm off to Tipperary now. How quickly can I get there for the curry?
The meatballs are on for you, girl.
Look, if you're listening on a Monday, if you're listening on another day, enjoy your food, whatever you get up to, and have a great, amazing fake away. Bye for now.
Bye for now.